Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lee Brekeen, your host with the Sports Scouting Report. Hope everybody's having a great Monday. It's cold. Man, it's cold. We're recording the show a little bit later because we had lost power, probably like a lot of people in the United States and in Louisiana. It looks like it's going to snow there, but glad we can get the show in today. The topics today are going to be LSU baseball pitching staff for the 2021 season for LSU baseball. Also, we're going to talk a little LSU basketball, and also talk about tidbits about Louisiana natives. We got a tidbit on a kicker from Mandeville that left Alabama. We'll tell you where he's going, and also just some tidbits about what's happened in sports in the last few days. Thinking the pitching staff, we'll start with LSU's pitching staff. And I want to mention this Friday, we're going to have the head baseball coach from ULL, the Raging Cajuns, on with us. And we're also going to have some other potential guests maybe by Wednesday as well. But let's start talking about LSU baseball, one of the top programs in the United States. And the pitching staff, we talked about the outfield, catchers, infielders this past week, but let's talk about the pitching staff. They're led by Jaden Hill, who's thought of as one of the top five picks of the MLB draft for the 2021 draft. Jaden is from Arkansas. Actually, he is from Ashton, Arkansas, where he was an all-state quarterback, by the way. And he throws 96 to 97 miles an hour. He can actually throw it 98 miles an hour. Jaden is one of those guys that'll probably hit 100 miles an hour by the time he leaves LSU or before he leaves LSU. This will be his last season probably as a junior that's only played 1 year because last year there was only 21 games played because of the COVID-19, the virus. But if Jaden Hill becomes the dominant pitcher that they think he can be, man, he throws a heavy fastball. He throws a beautiful fastball. He's got a lot of different pitches. He's a big kid, 6'4", 235 pounds, very athletic. I mean, this kid could be playing football for LSU or the University of Arkansas. He was offered by a lot of big-time football programs, but he's the ace of the staff, throwing 97, can throw 98 miles an hour. This is a deep pitching staff for LSU. You got Matthew Beck back, who's a great middle reliever. If needed, he could close some games for you, but he's a middle reliever. He's 6'7", the former quarterback from Alexandria High School. Picked up that extra year because of the shortened season last year. This is Matthew's fifth season with LSU. What's interesting, the second best pitcher on the staff, I think, is Landon Marceau from Destrehan High School. 6 foot. A slim down 180, can throw 92, 93, could get it up to 94 miles an hour. Has four different pitches. I think this is Landon's year to really kind of put everything together and be consistent. When his location is there, he's dominant. Continuing with the pitching staff, there's a lot of pitchers that can be that three guy, but starting out, A.J. Labus is going to be the third starter. At least to open the season, the junior from Fleming Island, Florida, Trinity Christian High School in Florida, had some injuries early in his career at LSU. I mean, A.J. can throw 94, 95 miles an hour, 6'3", 223. He's a redshirt junior with a lot of talent. He was actually a pro prospect coming out of Florida and was offered by most of the Florida schools, including the Florida Gators. You got Devin Fontenot back as a reliever, one of the top relievers in the country. You know, Devin can throw up to the 97 range, and he can hit 98. The Woodlands, Texas native is a senior. Could have went pro, came back because of the shortened season. He's 6'1", 181. Seems like he's bigger than that because he throws so hard. Man, this guy's got talent. He should have a great year. They also have Ty Floyd, a freshman from Georgia, who can get up to 96, 97 miles an hour. I think Ty will be the future closer in the bullpen with Devin Fontenot. You got Trent Vietmeyer, who's a veteran that'll be back, who's a senior out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. 6'3", 277 pounds. He's a middle reliever. He could probably get some starts in non-conference games when they play teams like Nicholls State or Southeastern and Louisiana Tech. Aaron George is back, who's 6'5", 226, a senior. He can get it up to about 94, 95 miles an hour. When he's consistent, he's tough. He's actually, this is his year to show everybody. He picks up his extra year because of the shortened season last year. But Aaron George is a pro prospect that, you know, him coming back, he could be the sleeper of the staff. He could be a closer, a middle reliever, and a starter if needed at 6'5", 226 pounds, the senior out of Ouachita Christian in Monroe. Some interesting young pitchers that are back, that freshman pitchers coming in. Michael Fowler out of Alabama. He's got a lot of talent. Michael can throw 94, 95 miles an hour. 6'3", he's a right-handed pitcher. He's got a lot of power, and like the freshman Ty Floyd, has a chance to be a great pitcher for LSU. Another freshman from Georgia, Zachary Murray's got a chance to be a great pitcher. 6 foot 173, has a lot of talent, was highly recruited. The same with Brooks Rice from Mississippi, another freshman right-handed pitcher, 6'3", 197 pounds. He can throw 93, 94 miles an hour. The freshman coming in that's been the surprise is from Pipkin High School, which is really not even they don't even have football. Garrett Edwards. Garrett's 6'5", 195, can throw 92, 93. And this kid's going to be throwing 96, 97 by the time he's filled out. He weighed only 175 in weight when they signed him. He's now 195. Blake Money, another freshman pitcher, 6'7", 261 pounds out of Tennessee, is a guy that can be a closer or a middle reliever or a starter midweek games this year. There's so much talent. Jacob Hasty, when they need a left-handed pitcher, is a sophomore from Keller, Texas, right outside of Dallas. Jacob's 6'2", about 219. Has a great arm. He's a guy that just, we'll see what he can do this year. Another freshman pitcher, Javen Coleman from Richmond, Texas, right outside of Houston. Homeschooled kid. He was homeschooled, 6'2", 173. Has a lot of talent. He throws 94, 95 miles an hour. And then there's the reliable senior McKeel Hilliard, who's been hurt the last 2 years, and man, he's got some stuff. You know, we've seen that in his career. He could be a middle reliever, could close if he gets his stuff back completely. You got a walk-on pitcher who's a left-handed pitcher named Alex Brady, about 5'8", 5'9", with a lot of, not so much a hard thrower, but location pitcher. But the talent on the staff, you even have another left-handed pitcher, Brandon Kamner, who played a little bit last year, a junior college guy that, you know, bounced around a little bit, signed with the University of Miami out of high school. Brandon is 6'2", about 205, and he's another location guy, not a hard thrower, but when he's on, he's on, you know. And this pitching staff has another freshman out of Canada. He's the first freshman, I think, pitcher from the country of Canada to ever go to LSU, Theo Milas. Theo, 6'4", 201 pounds. Throws 94, 95 miles an hour. He's got a chance to be in that 97, 98 range when he's done. But, man, the talent on the staff is just incredible. And it's just going to be interesting to see out of these young pitchers, who's going to put it together the fastest? You know, there's so many young guys that have signed that didn't go pro because the draft – they didn't have money this past year because of the virus, the MLB. So LSU got a lot of these young arms to enroll because they didn't have the money to sign these guys, which is a good thing for LSU and the rest of the other teams in the SEC. LSU's been picked fourth in the West, and they're in the preseason top 10, which is really crazy because the other three teams in the West are in the preseason top 10. But you know how that goes. A lot of the starting lineup of LSU will change in baseball. We all know that if you follow baseball. Not necessarily the three starters will be the three starters in a month from today. The nine starters to bat, you know, will start, but those nine won't stay the same. And that's why you have competition. This team has so much competition and so much talent. I've never seen a pulmonary team with this much talent at pitching and then so many good young hitters. I think the pitching will carry the hitting, which usually is the case with a baseball team. The hitting can be there, I think, by mid-late season, but I don't think the hitting's going to be dominant. It really didn't have to be because the pitching could be so good. Just like some of these Florida teams and Vandy teams that you saw the last 3 years, the hitting was really secondary for their success. A lot of your teams, like TCU, you know, a lot of these teams like Stanford in the past, you know, Cal State Fullerton, Oregon State, their hitting really wasn't their main strength. It was their pitching. And when you got two dominant pitchers, and that's something Vandy's had the last 5 years in the University of Florida and Oregon State, to name some of the top teams, they've had some dominant arms. And this is what I'm most excited about. LSU's got those arms. Now, who are going to be the final three starters after the first 6 games, 10 games? I don't know, but they have 14 arms that could be great pitchers. Usually LSU has about 3 really good arms and 1 closer, and they lack the depth going into a season. This year they have so much depth that if somebody did get hurt, they can overcome it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk LSU basketball and the big win LSU had over Tennessee, number 16 Tennessee, which was a huge win for the program. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Later in this week, we're going to have the head baseball coach from ULL, one of the top baseball programs in the country. Today, we're talking LSU baseball, LSU basketball, and I'm going to have some tidbits on football, especially Mike Jones, the linebacker LSU picked up from Clemson, and the impact that's going to have for LSU, and Brian Thomas signing him late in the signing class out of Walker, the receiver. Continuing on about LSU basketball, this has been a tough season for LSU basketball. I mean, it's like the stock market. You know, 1 week LSU's great, and then 1 week they lose 3 in a row, they win 2 in a row, they lose 4 in a row. But if you really look at things, you look at who they lost to. St. Louis, they lost to Alabama twice and Florida on the road. And really, the only bad loss, I would say, was Kentucky. Would we ever say that, that Kentucky's a bad loss? But this is a bad loss because Kentucky's not that good. But, you know, Alabama's legitimately a top 5 program right now in basketball, which is crazy. You know, they're over – would we ever think we'd be talking about Alabama basketball over Duke and UNC and Kansas and Kentucky? But this is wide open. And my all the listeners today that are basketball fans, have we ever seen it so wide open going into maybe the SEC tournament or going before the NCAA March Madness? It's really wide open to win this thing outside of Gonzaga and Baylor. There's only really 2 teams, and I'm going to tell you something. Baylor's not the biggest team in the world. They just shoot really well, and they play hard defense. And I was able to, as like everybody else, I finally got to see LSU play a full game of defense against Tennessee. If LSU does that from here on out, they could win the rest of their games during the season. This LSU team, even though they don't have a dominant post player, when they shoot well or they play defense and shoot okay, they can beat anybody in the country outside of maybe Gonzaga and Baylor. They should have beat Texas Tech, who's one of the top 10 teams in the country. They beat Tennessee, who's supposedly the 16th best team in the country, who's very talented. But you know what? Will Wade always finds a way to bring his team back, and he always finds a way to position himself to try and win the conference. They're number 2 in the conference right now, with all that being said. With 4 SEC losses, it seems like 8, but 4, because they were all close together. They're second in the conference. And if Alabama was to slip and lose three more games or four more games, anything can happen. But for the SEC tournament, if LSU beats Ole Miss Wednesday, and then they continue to win and win some of their big games down the stretch, they got a chance to finish as one of the top three teams in the SEC. They could end up being a top seven or a top six seed or maybe a fifth seed if they win out or win most of their games that's remaining. And Gervonta Smart has really come together in this Tennessee game. I don't know what it is, like they said, about Tennessee. Gervonta Smart just is incredible against Tennessee. I would like to see Gervonta drive to the basket more. Man, he's good at doing that. And there's some games he doesn't do it at all. But he's pretty much unstoppable when he uses his right hand going to the basket. He needs to do that more. I mean, he needs to push and go to the goal more and get fouled. I mean, if he can just do that from here on out, LSU will win most of their games instead of trying to shoot outside threes every game, which he can do that. But I think LSU relied less on the three-point shot and more on trying to go and drive the basket and just drive at him. And Cameron Thomas had another good game with 25 points. Gervonta Smart had 20 points. Darius Days had a solid outing with 14 points. And I got to mention that Andre Hyatt from New York, a lot of people have counted him out, but because of injuries and everything, he played. And I think he's one of the top defensive players on this team. He had 8 rebounds, and he had 8 points. He's earned himself some minutes from here on out to help this team. I mean, he actually rebounds like a big power forward. He's 6'6". He's about 220, and he can actually shoot the three every now and then. He hit 2 threes in that game. He hit 2 threes, and he had most of it. And I think LSU, the one thing they still suffer from is offensive rebounding. It's tough to watch them because when they can't hit those threes, they can't get any rebounds. I mean, if they miss a shot from 10 feet away, 8 feet away, or even 5 feet away, they just have trouble having offensive rebounding, and they just don't have that guy. And I know Will Wade's got to be frustrated about that, not having even an Emmett Williams type of player to give you an offensive rebound. If they had a guy down low that was 6'8", or 6'7", 230, had some vertical that could get up, or a Big B Williams, this team would be a Final Eight team. Right now, this team has the talent to be a Sweet 16 team. I'm not saying they're going Sweet 16. But if they play like they did the other night against Tennessee, they could be a Sweet 16 team. And if they had a post guy, if they can get Sharif O'Neal somehow back in the lineup from these injuries, Shaquille O'Neal's son, who's 6'10", 225 pounds, if they can get him involved just to rebound offensively, they could even go farther than that in the NCAA tournament. I really truly believe that. They just haven't been able to get Sharif going. Every time he plays a couple of games, he gets hurt. And hopefully that young man can stay healthy for LSU and also start getting involved with this team a little more. He needs to get it back on the court so he can get ready for the tournament. So come tournament time, he's got enough experience, he starts feeling good about himself. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have some tidbits about Louisiana stuff. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has 3 dealerships, which means 3 times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen. Before we get to tidbits, my topic this segment is McNeese State football. I had a chance to watch McNeese State play the other night, like a lot of people in Louisiana. And there's no football. I think there's one good thing about the Southland Conference playing during the spring is that there's no football. And so they're going to pick up a lot of viewers that wouldn't probably necessarily watch them during the season when there was, Division I football being played. But this is the first time in over 100 years that 1AA Subdivision 1 football is being played during the spring. First time in over 100 years. Now, McNeese has a lot of firepower led by Orgeron's son. Ed Orgeron's son's the quarterback at McNeese. And he's a senior. And they have a good running game. They have a good offensive line, a big offensive line. It's very athletic. Chris Truax has done a good job with them, by the way, the former LSU offensive guard from Richardson, Texas. Chris Truax is the new O-line coach for Frank Wilson. Jamal Pettigrew actually had a good catch the other night from LSU, the tight end. A.J. Carter ran the ball well, the transfer from Arizona State from Manny High School around the Natchitoches area, around not far from Shreveport. But I believe that the weapons they have on offense, and also Rashawn Matthews, former LSU defensive end and Southern defensive end, his son had a great game against their first opponent there from Texas. They had a great, you know, they didn't look like they were going to win. They actually were down by two touchdowns for the majority of the game, and they had an onside kick in the last 2 minutes. They recovered the onside kick, tied the game, and ended up winning the game in overtime. McNeese is going to have trouble probably on defense when they have to play in the Southland Conference. They're not capable of scoring 30 points every game in the Southland. But I really love how they fought back. These kids fought and came back and were down by two touchdowns the whole game and was down by two touchdowns in the final 2.5 minutes and came back and scored 3 touchdowns. It shows character. The Cowboys out of Lake Charles, it's been a few years since they've had a 10-win season. It's been a long time since they've won the conference. I don't know if this is going to be the year that Frank Wilson can turn it around, but I do like the promise that they're showing and the product they're putting on the field and the effort that these kids put out for the team. I like the Darian Daniels kid from Iowa High School, the linebacker. He's one of the top players on defense. They have some really good defensive backs. They just don't have the D-line and linebacking core to be a top-level Southland team. It was the first game. But I think it's going to be tough for them to stop anybody, but they're going to have to score 30 a game to win games in the Southland Conference. And I think the offense for McNeese is going to be pretty good. I think A.J. Carter has a chance to run for 1,000 yards. The transfer from Arizona State, he went to Manny High School. He's about 6 foot, about 220. He's a true sophomore, has a lot of ability. He just wanted to come home. He was homesick. Played a lot at Arizona State. I think the Pettigrew kid, the tight end from St. Augustine High School in New Orleans, the transfer from LSU is going to give him a weapon. And I think Rashawn Matthews' son is going to be very good for them. He's actually a transfer from Louisiana Tech at 6'2", 185 pounds, 190. And they have a very good offensive line. And Orgeron at quarterback has a lot of ability, a lot of experience. He's a competitor. Not a pro prospect, but he's a competitor. So I hope everybody was able to catch McNeese. It wasn't promoted real heavily, but it was the first game for the 1AA. They're going to do 6 games. All teams will have 3 home games, 3 away games. In-state, that'll include, you know, Nicholls State, McNeese, Northwestern State. They're going to play in that Southland Conference for 6 games. They'll have open dates to go with that, so it'll actually be over 2 months of football, and basically it's their spring practice. And then they'll turn around and play in the fall. What's kind of weird about this is all these teams had a signing day, and none of those kids can play on the team right now because they're still in high school. Let's go to tidbits for Louisiana. Joseph Bouvelis, who's from Mandeville, kicker, from the University of Alabama, has been in Alabama for 4 years, has transferred to Vanderbilt. He's got a year left because of the extra year awarded to all seniors. So he gets that fifth year. Joseph was beaten out by a kicker from Hoover, Alabama, Will Reichert, who's going to be a pro prospect. An interesting tidbit about Joseph, his dad played football at Georgia Tech. It was a pretty good football player for Georgia Tech. That is his ties. His dad was a Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket graduate. And actually, Joseph was known for kicking 50-yard field goals in high school at Mandeville High School, and also was a teammate of Ed Orgeron's sons that played at Mandeville and then went on to McNeese State in Lake Charles. I hope everybody enjoyed the show today. The weather's horrible. I hope it clears up. I pray for everyone to get through this. It's going to be cold. Please be safe on the roads, driving in this. There's a lot of ice on the road. And, again, prayers to everyone to be safe driving, going to work, coming home. And it's crazy. I've never seen weather. I've seen weather like this maybe twice in my life in Baton Rouge. I'm sure in Shreveport it's been like this more than maybe South Louisiana, but I've seen it snow twice, actually three times. I saw it snow in Leesville one time in 1990 and then twice in Baton Rouge. I don't know if it's going to snow. I'm not a weatherman. I'm just saying it looks like it snowed already. all my trees have about, looks like 20 pounds of ice on it. Got some tree limbs down on the ground, and everything is really, really cold here. I hope everybody's safe. Pray for everybody's to be safe on those streets, and be careful wherever you go in the next couple of days. I hope, again, everybody enjoyed the show today. Wednesday we'll have a guest, as well as Friday we'll have the head baseball coach from ULL, the Raging Cajuns. We'll talk baseball, Raging Cajun baseball on Friday, and then Wednesday we'll have a surprise guest on our show. We'll see you on Wednesday. Hope everybody has a safe Monday and Tuesday. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.